Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. Our lessons this evening, the Old Testament lesson from Deuteronomy, the Gospel from Luke 17. I just think of these words from the Gospel. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice, and he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. I think it always makes us feel good when people take their time to express appreciation. The late great cowboy film star and all-around good guy, Roy Rogers, he never forgot the people who made him what he was. And in the book, Something to Smile About, this is written about him. It says, Roy starred in his first movie, and he began receiving huge stacks of fan mail that he wanted to answer. However, his salary of $150 a week, that didn't even cover the required postage. And so he talked to the head of Republic Pictures in the hope that the studio would handle some of his fan mail. Well, he was turned down. And he was told that he was foolish to think about answering fan mail because nobody else did. It took too much time and money. Well, Roy Rogers couldn't buy that. It was his conviction that if somebody thought enough of him to write him a fan letter, that he should have enough respect for that person to answer it. And so Roy Rogers took his show on the road, and he traveled many miles, and he performed countless one-night stands in order to raise the money to pay the salaries of the four people that it took to answer his fan mail. No wonder he was so loved. It always makes us feel good when people take their time to say thanks. I mean, many business people have found that performing little acts of appreciation is a good way to bond with customers. It reminds me of an amusing story about a man named Harry who ran a small appliance store in Phoenix, Arizona. Well, Harry knew, that many of the young couples who came to his store, they asking detailed questions about appliances, he knew that many of them would leave his store and head, well, for one of the discount appliance dealers in order to make price comparisons. Nevertheless, Harry, he would answer all of their questions, even though at times it took more than a half an hour. But when that couple would announce that they were going to look around at some other places, well, that's when Harry had a spiel to deliver. I know, he would say, that you are looking for the best deal that you can find. And I understand that because, well, I do the same thing myself. And I know that you'll probably go down to Discount Dan's to compare prices. I know I would. But after you've done that, I want you to think of one thing. When you buy from Discount Dan's, you get an appliance, a good one, I know, because he sells the same appliances that I do. But when you buy here, you get one thing that you don't get at Dan's. You get me. I come with the deal, and I stand behind what I sell, and I want you to be happy with what you buy. He says, I've been here for 30 years. I learned the business from my dad, and I hope to be able to give the business in a few years over to my daughter and son-in-law. So you know one thing for sure. When you buy an appliance from me, you get me with the deal. And that means that I'll do everything that I can to be sure that you never regret doing business with me. That's a guarantee. And Harry would then wish the couple well, and he would give them a quart of ice cream in appreciation of their stopping at his store. And this is how another person would finish the story. Now he says, how far do you think that couple is going to get? With Harry's speech ringing in their ears and a quart of ice cream on their hands in Phoenix when it's 110 degrees in the shade. You know, it makes an impression on us when people simply take time to say thank you. Our lessons from the Old Testament, the Gospels, and the Epistle, they all have to do with taking time to say thanks. In Deuteronomy, God says to the people of Israel, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. Our lesson in Luke is about 10 men with leprosy who were healed by Jesus, but only one took the time to come back and say thanks. Where are the other nine? Asked Jesus. And in 1 Timothy, Paul writes, I urge that thanksgiving be made for everyone. So yes, take time to say thanks. And people who have a gratitude attitude are happier and are more effective in life. Take time to say thank you to family and to friends who do good things for you. And take time to thank God for all of the many blessings that God has poured out on you. Because after all good things do come from God. And a person's attitude toward his or her resources, that'll determine to a great extent just how happy that person is and how effective they are in both their personal and professional lives. I mean, if you trust that God will provide, you are spared that desperate air that some people have about their work. I mean, for some people, if you took away their work, you would take away their reason for existence. I mean, their family, their health, their recreation, worship, all of those things, for some people, are secondary to the pursuit of the almighty dollar. Why? Because they have this nagging fear that if they let up for a moment, that somehow or other their lives are going to come crashing down upon them. But when you learn to trust God, that's when you are able to be at ease with life. Fulton Ousler learned that the lesson of a grateful heart from a woman who helped care for him when he was a little boy. And every time she sat down to eat, she would bow her head and say, much obliged, Lord. Well, he asked her why she did that. I mean, because the food was already there for her to eat and enjoy, whether she gave thanks or not. And she replied, sure, we get our victuals, but it makes everything taste better to be grateful. I mean, looking for good things, it's a kind of game, she said, that an old preacher taught me to play. Like, take this morning. I woke up and I thought, what's there to praise God for today? And you know what? I couldn't think of a thing. And then from the kitchen came that delicious odor that tickled my nose. Coffee. Much obliged, Lord, for the coffee, I said. And much obliged, too, for the smell of it. And many years later, he stood at the bedside of that woman as she lay dying. And seeing her in much pain, he wondered if she could still find something to be grateful for. And just then she opened her eyes. And as she saw him and the others gathered around, She folded her hands and said with a smile, "Much obliged, Lord, for such fine friends." Now, there was a woman who was at ease with life. She might not have had much in terms of material possessions, but she had a gratitude attitude. And that was worth far more than the richest jewels. Bob Perks is a professional speaker. And he tells about overhearing a father and a daughter in their last moments together. Over the public address system, they had announced that the daughter's plane was ready to depart, and they stood near the security gate and they hugged. And finally, the father said, "I love you. I wish you enough." And she in turn said, "Daddy, our life together has been more than enough. Your love is all I ever needed. I wish you, too, enough, Daddy." And they kissed, and she left. And the old man walked over toward the area where Perks was seated, and he could see that the old man wanted and needed to cry. Well, he tried not to intrude on his privacy, but the old man welcomed him in by asking, "Did you ever say goodbye to someone, knowing it would be forever?" "Yes, I have," Perks replied. And saying that brought back memories that he had of expressing his love and his appreciation for all that his dad had done for him. And recognizing that his days were limited, he took the time to tell him just how much he meant to him. And so he knew something about what that man was experiencing. He says, "Forgive me for asking, but why is this a forever goodbye?" "Well," said the man, "I'm old, and she lives much too far away. I have challenges ahead. And the reality is that the next trip back would be for my funeral." And so Perks asked him, "When you were saying goodbye, I heard you say, 'I wish you enough.' May I ask you what that means?" And so the old man began to smile. He goes, "That's a wish that's been handed down from other generations. My parents used to say it to everyone." And he paused for a moment, you know, looking as if trying to remember it in detail. And he smiled even more. He said, when he said, "I wish you enough," we were wanting the other person to have a life filled with just enough good things to sustain them, he continued. And then he shared these following lines as if repeating them from memory. He says, "I wish you enough sun to keep your attitude bright. I wish you enough rain to appreciate the sun more. I wish you enough happiness to keep your spirit alive. And I wish you enough pain so that the smallest joys in life appear much bigger. I wish you enough gain to satisfy your wanting. And I wish you enough loss to appreciate all that you possess. And I wish enough hellos to get you through the final goodbye." And he began to sob and walk away. So let me ask you tonight, do you have enough? Here at the throne of God, you can find more than enough to satisfy your every need. And that's why St. Paul wrote, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." And that gift is God's grace poured out in Jesus Christ. Have you received that grace? And if you have, this is a splendid time to say thanks. Amen.